Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your mercies and love. Thank you for your compassions toward us. Thank you for your strength that is working in us. Thank you, Lord, for your blessings that we enjoy. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for giving us perfect peace and joy continually. Thank you, Father. Thank you for making all things work together for our good. Thank you, Lord, for fulfilling your promises concerning us. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for your grace that is working in our lives, making us to do what is right in your sight. Thank you for our prayers that you have answered. Thank you for always defending us. Thank you, Lord, for always protecting us. Be glorified forever in Jesus' name. We thank you for the love you have placed in our hearts, the love for you, the love for your people, the love for righteousness that you have placed in our hearts. Thank you, Father, for such love. Be praised forever in Jesus' name. Thank you also for helping us to grow in the knowledge of you. Thank you for giving us spiritual understanding of your truth that is able to set us free and keep us in freedom. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your desire to draw us closer to yourself so that we can grow mature in you and in spiritual things. Thank you, Father. We are here this evening to learn at your feet. I ask that you speak to every one of us in the name of Jesus. Speak to our heart. And let your word change our lives. In Jesus' name. Bless us tonight. Revive us tonight. And let your will prevail in our lives. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you're going to do beyond our expectations. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen. I welcome every one of you to the Lord's presence. We are still teaching on persecution. And we have talked on several topics. And if you can remember, we are at a subtopic that says reasons why persecutors attack Christians. And we have looked at number one reason, number two, number three. Now we are moving to number four reason why persecutors attack Christians. And that is ignorance of the truth. Ignorance of the truth. Persecutors attack Christians because they are ignorant. Sometimes it is because they are ignorant of the truth. Yeah. What does it mean to be ignorant? It means to be unaware. Yeah. It means to not know the validity and reality of something important. Yeah, that is ignorance. Yeah, it means to be unaware of a reality that is undeniable. A reality that is undeniable. So there are many people out there that have ignorance of spiritual things. They are ignorant of God's kingdom. They are ignorant of the things of God. They are ignorant of the righteousness of God. And that is why the attack that has to do with and Jesus. Because of their ignorance, they are unaware. Yeah. I have met some people I have met some people who up to this moment I'm talking to you are not going to church. They stopped going to church because of certain issues that happened some time ago in their lives. Some of them had issues with pastors. Yeah, while some had issues with the Bible, some felt like the Bible doesn't deserve to be believed. Yeah, some of them. They felt like the Bible is not the word of God, is not from God. It is just like any other book. Yeah, so they have no honor for the Bible and they have no faith for the Bible. So they see no reason why they should become a Christian. So I've met people like that, and I've also met people who were once going to church and were once so-called Christian, because I don't know if they were Christians indeed. Yeah. But because they had some issues with men of God, with pastors, so because of that, they stopped praying, they stopped going to church, they stopped believing in God, they stopped believing in Jesus, they stopped believing in God's power. Yeah, some of them, they had issues with false prophets or false pastors. Yeah, especially those pastors that would give you prophecy and also tell you to pay some money. You know, that if you pay some money, certain miracles will happen in your life. Yeah. So these people that I have met, they paid the money, they believed the prophecy, and miracle didn't happen. Yeah, they paid the money, they believed the prophecy, and then the miracle didn't happen. So they felt like all of these things is not real. I mean, they felt like none of these things is real. Jesus is not real. Prophets are not real. The power of God is not real. These prophecies, they are not real. So they stopped going to church, and they stopped believing in God, and then they start to attack anyone that have anything to do with Jesus or with the gospel or with church or with righteousness. So they attack anything that is of God, because of the experience they have had either with church people or with men of God. Yeah. So now we can put all of we can put such people and others like them under the category of ignorant people who are ignorant of people who do not know the truth, people who do not know the Lord. Yeah, so we can put such people under that category. Yeah, because the truth is real. God is real. The kingdom of God is real. The power of God, the power of God, the authority of God, the dominion of God are real. Yeah, whether anyone agree or not. In fact, whether anyone believe or not, God is real and His power is real. Yeah. So, but because some people have not come to the knowledge of these realities, They now conclude that it is not real and that it is a scam, and some of them now start to persecute anyone who follows such realities. Yeah, so some. So most times some of those people wouldn't persecute the truth if they have the kind of knowledge, if they have the kind of knowledge that we have. Yeah, they wouldn't persecute the truth. If they know the truth the way we know it, they wouldn't be fighting the that isn't. We're going to look at the scripture. Yeah, we're going to look at the scripture, and we're going to look at certain examples of people who were attacking the truth, who were persecuting Christians, attacking Christians, attacking the church because they were ignorant. But they wouldn't have done that if they knew the Lord. If they knew God, they wouldn't have attacked the truth. So we're going to look at some examples of such people. Let us open our Bibles to Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 3, verse 13 to 14. The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his Son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate, when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the Just, and desired a murderer to be granted unto you. Maybe I should just continue. I'm going to read it to you, verse 17. Verse 15. And killed the Prince of Life. They desired that a murderer be granted or be released to them, and they kept on shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him! Crucify him!" And they were doing it with great passion, and killed the Prince of Life. So they killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses, and his name through faith in his name hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I wot that through ignorance ye did it, as did also your rulers. So you can see that Peter was talking to those people after they saw a miracle. They saw a miracle happened. Peter was now using that opportunity to preach Jesus to them. He was telling them how they ignorantly handed over Jesus to be killed. And demanded that Barabbas, I think that was the name of the murderer, to be released unto them. Yeah, so Peter was correcting them, and he was telling them that he assumed they did it in ignorance, because even Jesus, while he was dying on the cross, he prayed for them. He said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not doing." Yeah. So people who are ignorant of who Jesus is and are ignorant of his power and of his love and of his saving grace sometimes persecute him. Those who stand for Jesus, yeah, they sometimes persecute Christians because they don't know the truth. They are ignorant of the truth. Yeah, because if the people in the days of Jesus really know that he is the Son of God, and that believing in him and submitting to him will offer them eternal life free of charge, they wouldn't have killed him. But many of them did not know. Though some knew, some of the religious leaders knew, but because of envy and because of personal gain, because they want to keep their positions, their prestigious leadership positions, they don't want to, and also they don't want to lose, I don't even know the English to use, maybe I should use the word relevance. They don't want to lose their relevance before the Roman government, or they are relevant to the Roman government of that time. So they wanted him dead, and of course they killed him eventually. Yeah, but there were some among them who actually wouldn't have handed Jesus over to be killed if they knew who he was. If Pilate knew, he wouldn't have allowed them. He'll probably do something, and then he will tell them, "Come another day, we'll talk on this matter. Do I will keep this man in prison?" Yeah, he wouldn't have given his order for Jesus to be killed. Yeah, so, but everything was part of God's plan. Yeah, everything was part of God's plan. Now let us look at someone who was persecuting and attacking the truth, attacking Christians, attacking the church because of ignorance. Open your Bibles to 1 Timothy. Okay, maybe we should read from verse 12. 1 Timothy chapter 1. I'm going to read from verse 12. "And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. This is Paul the Apostle talking in this place. He said he did it ignorantly. He was a blasphemer. He was a persecutor and injurious. So he was very wicked. Very wicked. He would beat people up. And some even died in the process. He would have them imprisoned. Sometimes have them stoned to death. And he thought he was doing God a favor. He thought he was doing the right thing. But he was wrong. He didn't know until Jesus appeared to him. So he said God showed him mercy because God must have reasoned that he was doing all of them ignorantly. I pray that none of you would become an enemy of God through ignorance. In Jesus' name. We should be merciful and loving to unbelievers as Christians. Don't condemn anyone. Just as Jesus said, do not judge. Jesus said, do not judge. Don't condemn anyone, because the people that are wicked, or maybe I should say that you see as wicked today, maybe doing it ignorantly, maybe doing the wickedness ignorantly, and they may be potential sons of God, potential believers. In fact, some of them may be potential great men of God or great women of God. Because some of them, they are doing everything, I mean every wicked thing they are doing through ignorance. If they happen to know what you know, they wouldn't be doing what they are doing. So it is good that we pray even for our persecutors. And in fact, Jesus told us to do that. It is good that we pray for our enemies, that we pray for those that are attacking us, because some of them may be doing it ignorantly. Some of them are ignorant of what they are doing. But your prayers can make Jesus visit them and appear to them and save their souls. But if you condemn these people and start to speak negative words, the same mouth you're supposed to use to pray for them, you're using the mouth to utter curses on them, God is going to deal with you. Because we were all wicked before Jesus found us. and saved us, we were all sinners and all unbelievers. Let us look at what Jesus taught us concerning this. Okay. I want to read that place where Jesus told us not to judge. Okay. Yeah. Okay. We have it in Luke chapter 6, verse 37. We also have it in Matthew chapter 7, verse 1. Let us read that one in Luke chapter 6, verse 37. I read, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Yeah, can you see that? Jesus said, judge not, and ye shall not be judged. Condemn not, and ye shall not be condemned. Forgive, and ye shall be forgiven. Yeah, so we are not in the position to judge unbelievers, even to judge the persecutors. I mean, those that are persecuting us and attacking us. We are not in the position to judge them or condemn them. Yeah, we are only in the position to forgive them. Yeah, no matter how wicked and how evil they are, it is wrong to judge them. Yeah, the one who is going to judge is God. Yeah, now the reason why it is wrong for you to judge is because you also were like them. Though you might be saying, I wasn't as bad as they were. I wasn't injurious. I didn't kill anyone. I didn't commit abortion. I wasn't a lesbian, or I wasn't a gay. I wasn't an homosexual. Yeah, you might be saying, oh, I wasn't that. Yeah, I wasn't like that. Though I committed sin, but my own sins wasn't as terrible as those people's sins. Well, the truth is that before God, you were just like them. Yeah. Before heaven, every unrighteousness is a sin. It doesn't matter the kind of sin you committed. Every unrighteousness is a sin. Whether you lie or you told a big lie. Yeah. Whether you were a womanizer, a fornicator, an adulterer, or you were doing your own sexual immorality secretly in your room. Yeah, it doesn't matter how you committed the sin. Every sin or every unrighteousness is sin. Yeah, even if in your eyes it looks like very small, oh, this is just a little sin. It's not like that man who killed killed people, or that murderer, that thief, that robber. Every unrighteousness is sin. Yeah, and before God, we were not different from the worst sinners. Yeah, so that is why you can't judge, because we're also guilty before Jesus decided to show you mercy and save your soul. You were also guilty. Yeah. It doesn't matter how small these sins you were committing at that time was. You were also guilty because God consider every sin as equal to death, equal to destruction. Yeah, if you read Romans chapter 6, verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. It didn't say for the wages of small sin or little sin or big sin. It says for the wages of sin. So it doesn't matter the kind of sin. So for the wages of sin is death. So you can't say because the sin you committed is just very small, and then God will, because of that, allow you to enter heaven if you didn't repent from that sin before you die. God is not going to, because of maybe a small lie you told, or because you placed a curse on someone out of anger, or you opened your mouth and began to utter abusive words, unclean words, dirty words, and then you felt like, oh, that is just a small sin. Well, the truth is that if you did not repent of that thing you called small sin, happened to die, you are going to hell. So it is wrong to anyone or condemn anyone because we were not different from them. Yeah, we're just the same with them before God. Though in your own eyes, God forbid, I am not like them. Wasn't a lesbian. I wasn't a gay. I wasn't a robber. I wasn't a murderer. So I wasn't like. But that is in your own eyes. But in the eyes of God, you are just the same as them. Because the Bible says in Romans 3 verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and have come short the glory of God. Maybe I should read that place for you. Yeah, Romans 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yeah. So God considered all mankind as sinners, and God condemned us because He saw us as sinners, because because we didn't love him, and we are not obeying him. Yeah, so God condemned the whole world as sinners. But He did not just stop at that. God now made a provision for our salvation. So the only person that can condemn is God. The only person that can judge, or that should judge, is God. You, as one that was saved, you are not in any to condemn anybody, even if that person is the most wicked person in the world. You are not in any position to condemn the person, and if you do that, you will also be condemned. Yeah, the moment you begin to condemn someone or judge someone, you will also be judged and condemned. Yeah, because you are trying to do what is none of your business. You are trying to give yourself a power that is not yours. Yeah, it is not in your power to judge anyone or to condemn anyone. Yeah, because for all have sinned. Yeah, so we are all partakers of His mercy, beneficiaries of His mercy. And the same mercy that saved you, you should pray that God will also extend that same mercy to those that you consider to be worst sinners. And you should pray that God extend that even to those that are persecuting you. You should pray that God extend His mercy to them and also save them. Yeah, so it is wrong for Christians to judge others and to punish others. Now, when we say judge, you know what it means. Let's say you saw it on the news, and then they said it on the news that, oh, this particular man raped and he was a young girl, and maybe virgin, and then this man raped her. And sometimes you hear news like the girl was raped and then stabbed to death. So some very terrible news like that. And then you could hear news like a guy suddenly pick up a gun and shot 10 people dead. Yeah. Now, when the Bible says, do not judge, the Bible is saying that while you are watching that kind of news, you are not supposed to say, how do people react to such news? You're not supposed to say, that man is wicked, that man deserves to be killed. Yeah, that man should be hanged. That man should do this. This and that should happen to that man. That is wickedness. How could such person do that? That is judging. Yeah, of course, what the person have done is wrong. The offense is a terrible thing. but you are not in the position to judge the person. Yeah, you are in the position to pray for the person and to preach to the person. Yeah, so you can let God do the judging. So God knows what to do to that person. And of course, God has put the government official and leaders, God has put them in the position to do what, what they know how to do to such people. But you should have a forgiving heart and a merciful spirit. You should pray for people instead of judging them. Or maybe you see a prostitute who cannot even number how many men she had slept with money. And then you say, oh, see that prostitute. I pray she gets HIV or gets an incurable disease and die. That is judging. Yeah, or you see an idol worshiper, and then you say, oh, look at that idol worshiper. Yeah, they're always worshiping all kinds of idols and gods. I pray God destroy them. That is judging, and that is a sin. That is wrong. So you should be praying that the evil happen to them. You should not be wishing that evil happen to them. It is wrong. It is very wrong. Let God do the judging. You, what is expected of you to do is to preach the gospel to them and to pray for their salvation, that their souls will be saved. That is your business. Your business is not the judging. Now, I know some people, when you preach the gospel to them, they tell you, don't judge me. That one is not judging. Yeah, if you see someone that is an addict, maybe alcohol addict or drug addict, then you say, do you know God loves you and all these things you are doing, they are works of darkness and they will lead you into destruction. If you can repent today, Jesus will save you. Yeah, that is not judging. And then maybe the person say, oh, don't judge me. No, that is not judge. That is saving the soul of the person. Yeah. If you call out the sins of people, you are not judging them. If you mention the sins of people, say, those of you that are doing this, that are doing that, you need to repent, because what you are doing is a sin. And God hates it. And God will judge such people if they don't repent. So when you do that, that one is not judging. You are trying to save them. That is what all the prophets in the Bible were doing. In fact, that was what Jesus was doing too. He was calling out the sins of the people. He would look at the Pharisees. He would say, you hypocrites. Yeah. He would call them all kinds of names because of the sinful lifestyle they were doing. So that one is not judging. That is saving. Yeah, but judging is when you are putting yourself in the position of God, and then you are saying that those that are committing sins, or those that have committed sins, deserve evil thing to happen to them, or deserve certain bad things to happen to them. That is judging. So I hope you have seen the difference. Yeah, and that is also similar to condemnation. When condemnation is when you say, oh, that man is a worst sinner, he's a wicked man, that man can never make heaven. That man is not meant for heaven. So condemnation is that when you utter a conclusive statement concerning someone, and then you say that person cannot be saved, that person cannot make it into God's kingdom, is condemnation. Yeah, and Jesus said, do not condemn. Yeah, and do not judge. I pray that you will follow the teachings of Jesus. Yeah, because nowadays I see the way some Christians behave, and I begin to ask myself, do these people read the Bible at all? Do they even read the teachings of Jesus himself? Have they not seen that Jesus taught that we should not do this, we should not do that? Yeah. So I pray that you'll be obedient. Now let us also look at what Jesus taught us concerning our enemies. Yeah, Jesus taught us to love our enemies. Let us read Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Or maybe I should read from verse 43. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 43. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, now Jesus was telling them that you have heard it in the law, in the Old Testament, that you should hate your enemy. But Jesus is saying, I have come, and this is what I am saying. So Jesus is the only one that can tell us what to do. Yeah. Because he is our savior. Moses wasn't our savior. The old commandment, the Old Testament, wasn't our savior. The law wasn't our savior. Jesus is our savior. So it is only Jesus that can tell us what to do. Yeah. It is only Jesus that can tell us what to do. And when he tells us those things, we should obey immediately. Yeah. So Jesus knew why he made certain laws come to the Israelites through Moses. Yeah, and now the same Jesus have come, and then he's saying, now I'm changing everything. Though during the time of Moses, this was what was told, but now I'm changing it. Now this is what I'm saying you should do. Now some people will say, they would rather follow the Old Testament. And then Jesus commanded, yeah, how can, or doesn't even make sense. We exalt something that came through the angels. Yeah, because all the law, all the laws that was given to Moses, they came through the ministration of the angels. Yeah. Is it proper to exalt through the ministration of the angels above what came from God himself? Because Jesus is God in person, in human form. Yeah, of course, it is wrong to do that. Very wrong to do that. Yeah, so here Jesus is saying, you have heard that they say you should hate your enemy. But now, you know, Jesus was trying to show them that there was in those days. But now, I am having more mercy. Yeah, in those days, God didn't show much mercy. But now, mercy himself have come. Yeah, and you have to listen to what I'm saying. Yeah, so he said, you have heard that you should hate your enemy. But now I'm saying that love your enemies. Yeah, so this is Jesus, or this was Jesus speaking here in verse 44. But I say unto you, love your enemies. Yeah, so Jesus was telling them that what you have understood was a dispensation where mercy and grace was very little. Yeah, but I am showing mercy on the whole world. And I'm showing mercy on everyone alike, without making any difference, without considering one person more important than the other. Yeah, I am showing mercy on everyone alike. And he's saying, now you have to love your enemies. You know, up to today, some people still feel like they are more important than others. Yeah, I think there are some people in Israel, as I'm speaking to you right now, they say that they are the Hebrews, they are the true Israelites, and that they are more important than others. Well, I pity them. In fact, some of them are not even Christians. They are following the Old Testament, and then they are saying that anyone that is an Israelite or an Hebrew is more important than any other person that is not. So there is this pride that is in them. Well, number one, do they even know the true Hebrews? That's a question I used to ask myself. Yeah, because the Hebrews or the Jews in the time of Jesus Christ, we can't really trace them. Yeah, because many of them were, not even many, all of them were scattered abroad. All of them. were scattered abroad. For many years, the land of Israel was in ruins until, I think, was it 1940 something? Some people now went back to Israel to rebuild, you know, the place, to redevelop the place. Yeah, but for many years, there was nobody there. It was not a country. Yeah. So now some people just, you know, find themselves there, and then they are saying they are true Hebrews, they are the true Israelites. Only God knows the true Hebrews. Yeah. So, and, you know, today you see what is going on in Israel. They are so full of pride. So some of them, they feel like they can just send a bomb to any country around them. They feel like God has placed them above some other people, and they can just blow anybody. I mean, they can send a bomb or send the missiles to destroy any country. So they are so full of pride. They feel like God is with them, and they can do anything, and nobody can destroy them, and, you know, all those lies. Yeah, I pity them. Yeah. Now, my point is that from the time Jesus came and died on the cross, everybody is now considered equal. Every human being, whether you are from America, or you are from Asia, or you are from Africa, or wherever, everybody is now considered equal. Yeah, and everybody must believe in Jesus to be saved, including Jew or Israelite. If they don't believe in Jesus, they will be wasted by the wrath of God, by the anger of God. You can read the book of Revelation. God did not spare any country, and he's not going to spare any country that refused to repent. God is going to destroy them all. Yeah, whether they are Israelites, or they call themselves Jews, or whatever they call themselves, God will not spare. You know, just the way he didn't speared the, you know, Israelites of old during the time of the apostles. Just the way he didn't spear them and he persecuted all of, I mean, not, let me not use the word persecuting. God used the Roman government to destroy the whole place. And all of them were scattered all over the world. They ran for their lives. Even God is going to do that again and again and again. He's not just going to do that to Israel. He's going to do that to any nation that hates him. Yeah. God is going to deal with them. He's going to judge them. Yeah, so there is nobody that is above any other person. Yeah, nobody is superior to another person before God. There is no country that is superior to another country. No tribe or race superior to another race. From the moment Jesus died, all of us are now the same. Though Jesus started his ministry from Israel, but the moment, even before he died, he told them that now you must take the gospel to the whole world, starting from this place. Yeah, so from that moment he died, God now sees every human being as the same. Now, before Jesus came, God placed Israel above other nations. Yeah, God placed Israel and the Jews above every other nation of the world, died. God now sees them as the same. And all of them must now believe in Jesus to be saved. Those that refuse to believe will be destroyed. Yeah, go and read your Bible very well. Yeah, though the Bible says that Israel will be saved, but not that. What the Bible means that, or what the Bible meant that, He will show them mercy and they will repent and believe Jesus. He will help them to repent and then they'll believe Jesus and then they will be saved. They'll be saved. Yeah, so there is no salvation except someone believes in Jesus and you have to humble yourself. Yeah, it doesn't matter which country you come from, you have to humble yourself and then be saved. Yeah, but to think that you are superior to another person and then you are more important to another person, that is pride, and that will lead you to destruction. In fact, when you have such mind, you cannot be saved, because God will receive the proud. Yeah, so I pray that you will be humble in Jesus' name. Yeah, so Jesus was talking to them here. He was saying that in verse 44, he said, "But I say unto you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Bless them that curse you. Do good to them and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." Yeah, sometimes I used to wonder if Christians read this verse. Yeah, because of the way some Christians behave. I used to wonder and I used to ask myself, have they really read this verse? Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. Yeah, because if they have read this verse and are following it, they will not have strong, they will not have hatred for their enemies. And Jesus said, love your enemies. Love your enemies. Love your enemies. I'm repeating it so that you can store it in your brain. Love your enemies. He didn't say kill your enemies, destroy your enemies. He said, love your enemies. Yeah. Or am I reading it correctly? Is that not the way it was in your, is that not the way it is in your Bible over there? He said, love your enemies. Yeah, of course, he's referring to your human enemies. Yeah, human enemies. He said you should love them. And then he went further to say that curse you. So if those people curse you, then you should reply by saying you are blessed. God bless you. You will prosper. You will live long. You will encounter God. So when they curse you, you reply by blessing them. or is that not what is here? But some Christians, they reply with curses. When someone curses them, they reply with curse. And that is not the teaching of Jesus. Yeah, he said, bless them that curse you. Yeah, even if they curse you 1,000 times, bless them also 1,000 times or even more. Keep blessing them. As they curse you, bless them. And then they curse you again, bless them. And then keep blessing them. And keep speaking to them, you will prosper. You will serve God. You will live a righteous life. You will live long. Keep blessing them. Even as they are cursing you, continue to bless them. And that is what Jesus said. I know this might be difficult, but that is what our Savior told us to do. Yeah, the person that's going to take us to heaven. That is what he said we should do. And then he went further to say, do good to them that hate you. Yeah, those that hate you, do good to them. And then he said, pray for them which despitefully use you. That is, if people are using you for their own benefit. And then you feel like, so all these things you promised me, it was just to use me. Yeah, and then you felt like, I thought you were genuine. I thought you were real. But actually, use me for your own advantage. And then get rid of me. And then you felt so disappointed. Jesus said, pray for such people. Pray for such people. He didn't pray negative prayer. Pray good prayers for them. Pray for their salvation. Pray for their deliverance. Praise the Lord. So these are the teachings of Jesus himself. And in fact, he said we should pray for those that persecute us. We should pray for them. Yeah. Now, some of you are thinking, did Jesus really mean to what he said in the place? Or there is another interpretation to what is he? And didn't the Old Testament said we should not allow a witch to live? Yeah, that anyone that is a witch, we should kill the witch. And here Jesus is saying, we should even pray for those that are practicing witchcraft. Yeah, those that are a witch or a wizard. Here Jesus is saying we should pray for them. Or maybe you are thinking and then you are asking a question that if I am praying for someone that is attacking me to kill me, am I not helping the person to kill me? Yeah, I'll be thinking now, I know someone who is a witch. I mean, I'm citing an example. So let's say, for instance, you know someone who is a witch. And even the person told you face to face that I'm going to kill you. And, you know, I have the powers to kill you. And then you say, God forbid, I'm not going to die. And then you went into your prayer closet and then you begin to pray and then you say, and then you mention the name of the witch. And then you say, you, this witch, command you die now. Yeah, you are not going to kill me. I'm going to kill you first. Do you know that wrong way to pray? And do you know that praying like that is a sin? Yeah, it is a sin. Because Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Now, the people in darkness, she's the agents of Satan. They know the Bible. They know the Bible very well. And that is why, even after you have prayed that they die, many of them, they still don't die. Yeah, even after you have prayed that they die, they still don't die. Yeah, do you know why? Because they know the Bible. They know that your Jesus told you to bless them and to pray for them and not to kill them. Yeah, so they know that if you to kill them, Jesus is not going to do that, because Jesus himself said that you should bless them, that you should pray for them, pray for their salvation. So because of that, they are sure that your prayers cannot kill them. Yeah. So then you might be asking, how then should I pray if a witch walk up to me and tell me that she's gonna kill me? How then should I pray in that case? Now, that's a good question. How to pray is what Jesus, you know, is very obvious. Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Yeah, Jesus didn't say kill your enemies. He said pray for them. That is, pray in favor of them. Yeah, wish them well. Praise the Lord. Wish them well. Pray for good things to happen to them. Let your heart be good towards them. Love them. Have love for them. Pity them. Compassion on them. And see them as some vision and that needs to be saved. And then pray for them with that understanding. Yeah. And then now pray for yourself. Pray for yourself for protection. Pray for yourself that God will become a mighty fortress and that he will surround you with himself. And whoever wants to attack you must attack God first before they will get to you. So that is how you pray for yourself. So now you pray a prayer of protection for yourself, a prayer of preservation for yourself. So you're going to pray that God should hide you inside of him, become your fortress, and become your shield, and become your defender, that God fights for you. Yeah, that God should protect you. Yeah, and whatever attack that is coming from whoever, from whether witches or, you know, that God should protect you from those things, should judge your enemies. So when you're praying for yourself, you can ask God your enemies. Yeah. Not because you want, you speak of your human enemies. But you are praying for your own protection. Yeah. And you are telling God to judge. Now, God knows how to do judgment. And most times, God's judgment doesn't start with killing. God knows how to deal with evildoers. most times he warns them gradually. He keeps sending warning to them, repent, repent. So God don't just kill instantly. Keep sending warning to them, repent, gradually, repent, you know, till when he will now do the final judgment of taking their lives. So while you are praying for yourself, you can ask God to judge your enemies. And you are not going to be mentioning the name of your enemies. Yeah, maybe you remembered the name of the witch that came to you and said, I'm going to kill you. And then you're not telling God, you're saying, God, that this person judge this person and kill this person. And that's not how to pray. Yeah, so you just pray that God judge your enemies so you don't, and that God protects you. So that's how you pray for yourself. But for your enemies, you have to pray that God forms, and then you begin to pray other prayers as the Holy Spirit leads you. So you have to pray in their favor. You have to pray that God favor them. You have to pray that God help them. So you must pray against your enemies. Yeah, you have to continue to pray for your enemies. That is what Jesus told us to do. And if you do that genuinely and with a sincere heart, then God will now help you deal with them. God will not help you deal with them. Sometimes God will appear to them and warn them and told them to never touch you. Oh, you will kill them. Yeah. So God knows how to deal with them. But if you, with a heart of hatred, and with a heart of revenge, I mean a heart full of revenge, and heart full of anger, retaliation, and then you begin to say, "Oh God, kill that witch, kill that that wizard over there, that woman over there that is doing voodoo, doing occultism. Oh God, kill him now. Kill her now." If you are like that, God is not going to answer that prayer. Yeah, and God may not protect you from their attacks. Yeah, so I hope you understand now. So when you are praying for your enemies, you pray good prayers for them. And then when you are praying for yourself, you pray that God defend you and protect you and fight your battles. Yeah. And judge your enemies. Yeah. And God, in his wisdom, knows how to do his judgment on your enemies. Yeah, but if you begin to put yourself in the position of God and then you begin to now, you begin to mention the name of your enemy, and then you begin to now state what evil and bad things should happen to the person, then you're practicing witchcraft. Yeah, that is witchcraft. You begin to mention the name of your enemies, then you begin to say, let this evil thing happen to this person. Let that evil thing happen to that person. You're already practicing witchcraft. Then it means you are not friends from me, from your enemy. Yeah, it means you're also a murderer, because they used to kill you. And now you are now doing things. You're not doing some prayers. And in your prayers, you are praying that your enemy too should die. That is not how to. how to deal with enemies. Yeah. Yeah. So the highest you can do when it comes to praying concerning human enemies is to ask God to judge your enemies. Yeah, that's the highest you can do. Yeah, is to ask God to judge, and God knows what to do. Yeah, except if God now tell you, if God mentioned the enemy to you, reveal your enemy to you, and God tell you, this is what I want to do to your enemy. Now, ask me to do that. Yeah, maybe that one is different. Maybe in that case, the Lord tells you to do it. I mean, if the Lord now give you revelation, and God now show you your enemy in that revelation, and then God now tell you what the kind of judgment he wants to do on your enemy, and then he now tell you to ask him to do that judgment, to release that judgment on your enemy, then fine, you can do that. Since God is the one telling you to do that, you can pray like that. Yeah, but if God is not showing you that, you must not do those kind of negative prayers some people are doing nowadays, because it is not different from witchcraft. Yeah, so you must not do such negative prayers. Yeah, so now you know where we're coming from. Our topic was that persecutors, they attack Christians because many of them are ignorant of the truth. Yeah. So, and I went further to say that many of the people attacking Christians would not do it if they know God the way we know God. If they are in the light the way we are in the light. If they know what we know, they wouldn't do that. And then I went further to say, it is wrong for you to judge them. Some of them are potential sons of God and daughters of God. Yeah, because God is still interested in some of them, and God wants to save their souls. Yeah, and then, you know, we are now here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 43 and 44. So, don't put yourself in a position, an enemy of God. Don't start to desire the death of the wicked, the death of sinners. When God is still interested in saving the souls of those sinners, but desiring the death of dead people, when God, who created those people, is still interested in saving their souls, you are going to become the enemy of God. Yeah. And that is a dangerous thing to become. Yeah, so make sure you are wise when it comes to dealing with human enemies and human persecutors. I pray that the Lord will give understanding concerning this matter in Jesus' name. So we are going to stop here. Yeah, if everything I have said is very clear to you and you understand, that is very good. But if not, make sure you ask questions. Yeah, You can ask on the group, and you can ask me personally. But I think I have really... Okay. Let me look at this question. Do you mean it is right to pray for God to release His judgment on certain people if He reveals His plan to destroy them to us? Yeah, there are cases like that in the Bible, actually. For instance, if you look at the case of Ananias and Sapphira in I think Acts chapter 5. Yeah. Okay, maybe we should look at it. And there was another case of Alexander or something. There was an enemy of Paul. Let's look at it. Acts chapter 5. I'm not going to read everything. Yeah, but this group, they were husband and wife, and then they were envious of certain believers who sold their properties and brought the money to the apostles, so that the apostles can share the money to help feed everyone in the church, to help take care of people in the church. So this particular couple, they were envious of those brethren that was selling their properties, or that sold their properties to help the body of Christ. And they decided to, sell a property, but they did not present all. And then they said, God's judgment on them was not because of the property or because of the money. God's judgment on this couple was because they lied. Yeah, it was because they lied. They would have said, we actually sold one of our properties or our property, and we are giving just half of it to the church. Fine, God would not have issue with that. In fact, even if they give one tenth of it, or 1/20 of it, of the price, God wouldn't have issue with that. Yeah, but they came and then they lied. And then they said, this is the money we sold the property for this price. So that made God so happy. Now, but that's not where I'm going. Now, Peter, full of the Holy Ghost, was able to discern that God is angry with these people. And God wants to... So Peter knew in his spirit. Yeah, and that was why Peter began to rebuke them. In verse 3 and verse 4, he began to rebuke the husband. He said, why has Satan filled your heart to light the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Yeah, Peter was saying that if this is your property, before you sold it, it was yours. Even after you sold it, it was yours. So you could just keep the money to yourself. But why did you come to the house of God to tell such lie? So Peter did not even say, now I fall down and die. Peter didn't say that. While Peter was saying that, the man just fell down and died. And when the wife came, Peter said the same thing. He said, did you and your husband sold the land for this price? The wife said yes. And Peter said, well, your husband came here and tell this lie and then died. Look, they will also come and take your corpse from here because, God's judgment is upon both of you. And immediately the wife too died. Now, what I'm saying, I mean, the wife also fell down immediately and died. You can read everything in Acts chapter 5. Now, what I'm saying is that God's judgment is already upon them, and the judgment is death. And God is able to reveal it to anyone that have the Holy Spirit. Yeah, God is able to reveal it. So if God reveals your enemy or his enemy, because our enemies are also God's enemies. Yeah, so if God reveals the enemy and tell you that my judgment for this person is death, so pray that I don't. Yeah, is right to do that. Yeah, there's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with that at all. Yeah, because God is the one that gives life, and he's also the one that takes life. Yeah, and there are some people that look like human beings, but they are not human beings, because their soul has turned into demons, or their soul have been a demon soul from the beginning. So God can place a judgment of death on such people. Now, there's also this guy that really, really troubled the ministry of Apostle Paul. I think his name was Alexander. I think I found the verse. Second Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 4 verse 14. Now, this is Paul the Apostle talking. He said, Alexander, past smith, did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. Yeah, you can see that. So, Apostle Paul was able to mark this person. Yeah, he was able to mark this person as an enemy. Yeah, and he did not pray for him that the Lord save his soul. He said the Lord reward him according to his works. Yeah, so which means he must have gotten a revelation that this man is just a devil and cannot repent and cannot be saved. He must have gotten that revelation. That's why he did not pray for his salvation. He rather prayed for judgment for him, that God reward him according to the evil that he did. Yeah. So, and there are other places like that. I think 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 20. There was this man too called Hymenaeus, and then Alexander again. Yeah. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 20 said, of whom is Imenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered unto Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. So you can see, Apostle Paul said he delivered them unto Satan. He didn't say, I delivered them to Jesus to save them. He said, I delivered them to Satan. So which means he prayed that God should let Satan torment them and punish them. So there are places where God can give you revelation of who your enemy is. And then he can tell you to pray that he do that to your enemy. So that one is different from when you didn't get any of such revelation. I hope I've answered your question. Okay, another question is, so when we pray and we say back to sender, is it right? Yeah. Okay. If we say back to sender, is it right? In as much as you don't have anybody in mind why you are saying back to sender. As you don't have anybody in mind when you say back to sender, right? That is, you don't have a human being in mind, and then when you are saying back to sender, you are creating a picture of that person in your mind, and then you are saying back to sender, and then your mind you are thinking let the attack go and hit this person that is in my mind right now and kill that person. When you do that, that is witchcraft. Yeah, so even while you pray back to sender prayer, you must not have anybody in mind. Yeah, so you, as a Christian, you don't assume that someone is your enemy. Yeah, you don't just assume that this person is my enemy. And even if the person is your enemy, you don't pray for the death of that person. Except in the case when God is the one telling you to pray like that. When you are praying that God sent the attacks coming from your enemies back to them, you don't have, when you are praying such prayers, don't put any human being in your mind. Yeah. So you can pray like that. But don't put any human being in your mind. What should be in your mind is the principalities. Yeah. You should not put human being in mind at that point. Because you feel like that person is the one attacking you, and then you're now saying back to sender, and as you're saying back to sender, you are thinking in your mind that now the attack is going back to this particular person, and the attack is going to destroy that person. No, that one is witchcraft. Yeah, I hope you understand. Yeah, so we must just get it right so that We don't commit sin while we are doing warfare prayers. Yeah, if you have noticed that I'm always careful when I'm praying warfare prayers to do it, human enemies. I'm more careful now when I'm praying against non-human enemies, that is demons and principalities. Yeah, I'm always very careful when I'm praying concerning human enemies, because we must get it right. Yeah, we must not because we want victory and now start practicing witchcraft. Now and now start practicing witchcraft through the kind of prayers we are praying. Yeah, we must be very careful. I hope I have answered your question. Yeah, so if you have any further question, you can ask on the group. Our time is already far spent. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this moment we have spent in your presence. Thank you for showing us how human beings like us can become our persecutors because they do not know what we know, because they are ignorant of the truth. And thank you for showing us that we should not condemn them and we should not judge them, and that we should forgive and pray for them. I ask, O Lord, that you give everyone here an heart full of love and compassion for sinners and for wicked people. In Jesus' name, I ask, O Lord, that you teach us how to love our enemies and how to pray for them and not pray against them. In Jesus' name, teach us how to be careful in spiritual warfare, to not be practicing witchcraft. In Jesus' name. We ask also that you teach us to be powerful intercessors. Help us to be powerful intercessors that is able to pray for the salvation of worst sinners. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for we know you have answered. Blessed be your holy name. In Jesus' name, we have prayed. Amen.